Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Now, I have spoken several times in the parking lot service. This is actually my first time to bring a message from this pulpit and the auditorium since we've been back, or since it's been remodeled, I should say. And so I was planning on saying that Wednesday night, but you just never know what God's going to do, right? Nehemiah chapter number 2. I'm going to read at least the first 8 verses. I may add on a verse 18 now or hold it off for later. But I want to bring a message here this morning, and we're following a passage that we find in Nehemiah chapter number 2, verses 1 through 8. So if you have your Bible, would you please turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and follow along with me as I read the Scripture. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. This is Nehemiah speaking. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore and afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Verse 7, Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governor beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. The king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. I want to bring a message that I was preparing and working on to be bringing for this Wednesday night, entitled, The Good Hand of My God. The Good Hand of My God. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is powerful, and it is not a respecter of persons. We know that your word is applicable for all of our lives in any setting. We've enjoyed a Sunday school time where we've taught your word verse by verse and tried to help folks with that. We find ourselves in the Sunday morning service also opening up your holy word, seeking that which you have for us this morning. God, I pray that you would use this message in a powerful way. I don't know or understand even the reasoning for the changes, but I know that you do. And so I ask that you would please, for these people's sake, would you use me to be a help and a blessing, encouragement to them. In Jesus' name, amen. It was about, it's been a little over a month ago now, almost a month and a half, I guess. We had left our home because it had been included in the, Zone 3 or Level 3 of the fires that, you remember those fires that were not far from here? I was at Costco and was purchasing some things with some others who were helping me to give to the firefighters. You guys had given money many of you had given funds for that, and so we were at the store, and I was in line, and I got a phone call, and it said this area had been included in the level 3, I think is what it was called. And so I was thinking there in line, okay, what am I going to do? I've heard of other people having to go through this. Many of you had it far worse than we did, so I'm not trying to make much of this, but we were in a position where we needed to make a decision. And so I'm checking out there, but yet in my mind I'm going through. And so we decided to gather some things and leave for a couple of days. We took off to Hood River, and at that time it was pretty decent air quality. It didn't take long for it to reach us with the bad air quality, but we were there for a couple of days, and we, of course, we have three drivers in our home, so we took three of our vehicles, and if you remember the setting, at least where we are, the sky was really weird colors. And I'm looking at 213, and it looks like a parking lot, people heading north, okay? And so it's just that setting, okay, we need to do something, okay? There was not flames in our backyard, don't misunderstand, but we need to do something. And so my wife and I are in the kitchen, and we're saying, okay, what do we take? And so we communicated about that, and I grabbed a small duffel bag with all my belongings in it. And then the other 2.5 cars were filled with all of her necessary shoes that she has. And we ran out of money in Hood River, but boy, did we make a lot of money on all those shoes that we... No, I'm just kidding. And so that's not true, by the way. So we took off for a couple of days. And one of those evenings, I was... we took some pictures with us, okay? Those are precious. You know, seriously, I was looking around the house, and all that stuff that meant a whole lot to me in that setting, you know what it was? It was stuff. And so we were walking around the house, and I said, well, you know, these pictures are precious to us, you know, let's take some of these things. And whatever. Anyway, we chose some things, we put them in the car, we took off. One of those evenings while we were in Hood River, I'm not sure what to do with these because I know I'm going to need them really soon. So you glasswearers, help me with this. I'll just put them on. Okay. Anyway, and so I was looking at some of the pictures from the past. I love great memories, and we were looking at some things back when we were younger. And Kobe, you have that picture. Oh, look at that. And I posted this picture on Facebook while we were going through those pictures. And I said, I started getting a lot of responses. I feel important when people respond to my posts. Do you feel that way? And so I'll never forget one guy was bragging on me. And he said, you know what? You are twice the man what you were in that picture. And I just read over that and I thought, wow, that guy is so thoughtful. And then I got to thinking, maybe he wasn't bragging on me. I don't know what he meant by that. Anyway. And so, but anyway, I posted this picture. We were looking through some things. And you know what we were doing? We were just thinking about the good hand of our God. And that evening, I began thinking about some other things in my life, and I'm not going to get too, you know, I don't want to bore you too much, but I just began thinking about how good God has been to me. Raised in church, a mom and dad who just celebrated 51 years of marriage last week. And I'm not criticizing this. Please know my heart. But they both came from broken homes, and they said, you know, when we got married, we made a decision that's not going to happen to our kids. And I'm so thankful for that. And I know things come up that aren't out of our control, but I'm just so thankful that the grace of God prolonged that marriage. And I began thinking back of being raised in church, I thought of a lady's name who probably had the most bearing, one of the most pivotal turning points in my life that I didn't even realize was when a friend of ours, her name was Marlene Osborne, and she invited our family to the Independent Baptist Church in town. We had been going for a long time to another denomination, and it was a denomination that believed that you could lose your salvation, and I was brought up in that for my first few years, and I don't know why my parents chose to change. I don't know if they were looking to change or whatever, and you know, I don't really need to know all that. I just remember that we started going to this other church, and my whole world was turned around. I went to my first youth conference. I didn't even know what a youth conference was. But at that youth conference, I surrendered to follow whatever God wanted to do in my life. There was several messages preached and pleas made for that. And I felt the Lord tugging on my heart. Lord, whatever, as pastor of that song, wherever He leads, I'll go. Okay? I didn't know that song back then, but it was that mindset and that heart that I had. Lord, whatever it is that You want me to do. I remember going to a public school of hundreds of students. But then our church starts a small Christian school of about 38. And I finished my last 2 years of high school there. And I just began reminiscing about the good hand of my God. I remember leading my first soul to Christ. I can take you to that place where I was able to open my Bible, and one of the youth workers said, hey, it was a big day we were having, and he said, I want you to take this young fellow here and lead him to Christ. And I opened my Bible, I went through the plan of salvation, and I was able to lead my first soul to Christ. The good hand of my God has greatly been upon me in my life. I think that you can agree to that and testify to that as well. Even through the trials of life that we face, the good hand of our God. I remember going through Bible college. And I remember seeing the other people, and this was my doing. This was my fault. They didn't make me feel this way, okay? But I remember looking at those other students, and, you know, some of them pastors' children from big, well-known churches, and they just seemed to have it all together. They just seemed to know what they were going to do. And I remember being there, and again, that was my perception. They weren't unkind or uppity or anything like that. But just from my perception, I'm thinking, you know, I know I've surrendered to the Lord, but I don't really know where I'm going to go or where I'm going to end up or how this is all going to work out. I just know that this is where I'm supposed to be right here. And now to look back 27 plus years later and find the Lord has brought us here to Grandview Baptist Church, that is such a... I remember being in college thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no clue. But praise the Lord for His good hand. I remember meeting Kristen in college. And I remember thinking, wow, I could never get a date with her. You guys ever thought that about your wife? Yeah. No? Oh, you had it all together. I didn't. I remember watching her walk by and think, oh, I could never get a date with her. But I'll never forget that first date she asked me for. And I thought, well, I don't want to hurt her feelings. When I start telling a fib, I walk over here to this side. Because I know you guys can relate to that, right? When I'm telling the truth, I walk over here because these are all the spiritual people, right? You know? Plus my wife's sitting over here, so I got to do that. And I just remember thinking about the good hand of my God. Nehemiah, there's more things I could say about the past, but I want to stay on track here and respect your time. Nehemiah made a statement in this passage, and we find it in more than one place. But the first time we find it is in verse 8. And we see here, now, Nehemiah, we don't know much about his life before this point. Okay? as far as I know, there's not much, if any, in Scripture that talks about Nehemiah's upbringing and how he was a young teenager and how, you know, we just kind of find ourselves in this point in time in his life. But the reference he makes to the good hand of my God implies, are you following me? It implies that God has been good throughout his life and blessed him as a young person and blessed him as a teenager, if you will, and as a young adult and up to this point in his life, because he makes reference to this phrase, the good hand of my God. This morning, I want to give you a few things in the message here that the good hand of God offers. And we're going to find it in this passage of Scripture here today. First of all, I want to share with you that the good hand of God offers security. And I want you to look in verse number 4 of chapter 2. Then the king said unto me, "For what dost thou make request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now that verse is intriguing to me, and I kind of already illustrated it earlier this morning at the start of the service, but I want to kind of revisit it. We don't have any reference to what Nehemiah prayed. Do you understand what he's doing here? Is while the king is asking what he needs, in his heart he's praying and he's saying, "God, direct me now. God, lead me now. God, give me what it takes to do this now. Help me, Lord, help me to make sense now, Lord." And have you ever been in a situation in your life where something is brought upon you, and while it's being brought upon you, you're praying in your heart, "Lord, help me to deal with this right"? I've had people call me before with heartbreaking news, and they would say something to the fact of, you know, "My loved one just passed away. This just happened in our home. This tragedy just struck our life." And it's just like while they're mentioning it, and I'm listening to them, but while they're explaining the details, in my heart, have you ever been there? I'm praying and saying, "Lord, I need to comfort this person. And I don't have what it takes. And I'm, you know, Lord, I need direction here, because this family is hurting, or this need is prevalent, or this burden is very heavy." And while it's being presented to me, I am praying inside. You know what it's like. And you're asking God. You know the reason why Nehemiah did that and was able to do that? Because he was secure in his relationship with God. He knew that God would hear his prayer, even in the midst of this event being explained to him and him needing direction and wisdom of how to respond to the king. He was so secure in his relationship with God that he knew, "I can go to God right now. I don't have to go off somewhere and take a walk, even though I'm for that. I don't have to go over here and kneel somewhere, even though I'm for that. In the midst of what's being presented to me that I do not have direction and wisdom in how to deal with, I can go to my God." Aren't you excited this morning that we are secure in Christ and we don't have to wonder, "Well, I'm going through this struggle. I hope God's listening." Hey, He's listening. He hears your prayer. He knows your heart. And Nehemiah, in the midst of this issue in his world now that's come about and trying to gain wisdom in responding to the king, while the king is saying, "Hey, Nehemiah, what is it? Did you..." In his heart, he's praying, "Lord, please, I need direction. I need wisdom." And he was secure in that relationship that he had with his Heavenly Father. The good hand of God, as Nehemiah refers to it, and as we see in verse 4, offers security. He felt close to God. He knew he could call on God. In John chapter 10 and verse number 27, I'm going to read a verse here, actually a passage here, and it supports the point this morning. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. Aren't you excited this morning? You know what? Man can pluck things out of your hand, but no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Aren't you excited about that? Boy, we can go to God with confidence, not in ourselves, but in Him and His security. The good hand of God we see in verse number 4 in this prayer of Nehemiah as he calls on the Lord. He feels secure in the fact that he can go to God at that very moment. Paul was speaking to the Christians in Rome. And he asked this question to them. And I want to read this passage here to you in chapter 8 and verse 38. He asked the question to the Christians. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And in verse number 38, he answers the question. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can I remind you of something, friend, this morning? Your God has offered an eternal security for you. He has you in the palm of His hand. I love, there's an old song that phrase just reminded me of years ago. I don't know all the words to it today, but I just remember that. And He holds me in the palm of His hand. You know what? Things in life can come up. Things can be taken from us. But you know what? We cannot be plucked out of the Father's hand. And He offers security like no other. You ever had something taken from you? Oh, I went through a great tragedy. When we moved into the house over here behind the church, it wasn't a quick move that was necessary. And so we would move some things this day. And we would move some things from our other house over to here the next day. And we would systematically do it. And I went back the last day to get my... Now, men, put your hand over your heart because you're going to love it. My Traeger grill. Okay? All right. I love my Traeger grill. I went to the house. I went in the front door. I went to the back door, opened the sliding glass door, and guess what was not there? My Traeger grill. Don't you feel for me? You know, men can take things from us, but you know what? God says, you're going to love my English on this one. Ain't no man going to take you out of my hand. And you can be secure in that. A lot of people, and I'm not making fun of this, I'm not whatever, but they're, well, I just don't know. You know what I did as a young teenager? And I think a lot of it had to do with because of my previous upbringing of, you know, you get saved or you got to get saved again and you lose yourself, you know, and the confusion of that. You know what you do? You settle it. You hear this morning, say, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Do what I did as a young person. Settle it. Look, Jesus' eternal life is what it says in those two words. Eternal life. Your salvation is not up for debate once you've trusted Christ as your Savior. It's not on this day and off that day. And He offers security. I'm going to hasten on here. The good hand of our God offers sustenance. The good hand of our God offers sustenance. Now, I want you to look at verse number 7 of chapter 2. "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governor beyond the river." Now, in verse 9, okay, we see in 7 that Nehemiah is requesting these letters. Why does he want these letters? He wants these letters because he needs some things to make the rebuilding of the wall possible. And he's saying, because God has given him wisdom, he's been praying to God, and so he responds to the king and he says, "I'll tell you what you can do, please. Would you please write some letters to these people so that I can get the items that I need to perform the task that God has called me to do?" And we see in verse number 9, And I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. What does that tell us here? God offered The sustenance. See, what is sustenance? A supplying with the necessities of life. The supplying with the necessities of life. God provided what Nehemiah needed. He went to the king. God gave him wisdom to do that. He said, would you please write some letters because I need these items to rebuild the wall. God gave him the wisdom to do that. And then in verse 9, what do we see Nehemiah doing? Handing over the letters. Why? Because God had worked it out. He had provided the sustenance, the necessary items of life that Nehemiah needed to make the rebuilding of the wall necessary. And folks, I want to remind you of something this morning. If God can provide sustenance for Nehemiah way back in this true story, then in 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of an election in a week and a half or so, and in the midst of all these things that are going on in the world, He can still provide sustenance for you. He knows what you need. He knows when we need it. And He will always come through. And we see that here in this passage. The good hand of God offered sustenance. God supplied exactly what Nehemiah needed. I want to read a verse to you in 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to find it here real quick. 1 John chapter number 5. Is it still in here? Oh yeah, there it is. Okay. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. It says this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what? He heareth us. Aren't you glad this morning that when you call on God and you say, Lord, this is what we need. Now, the Lord is so smart, He knows what we need before we ask. But it's sure wise of us to stay in touch with our Lord and have a sweet relationship with Him and continue to call on Him and ask Him and share with Him what our needs are in life. And you know what? He will hear us. He will hear us. He will provide. He will provide whatever it is that you need. Now, where we get frustrated at God is sometimes, is He doesn't always provide it when we want it. He doesn't always provide it when we want it. But He does provide. Do you remember hearing about a gentleman from the early 1900s called George Mueller? Do you remember that? I don't know if you've heard of that. George Mueller was responsible for, if I have my facts straight, for caring through his time of overseeing orphanages of over 10,000 orphans. George Mueller one day woke up and realized, because he was told by one of the ladies that worked in the orphanage, she said to him, George, we have no food for the children. He paused for a moment. He thought for a moment. He was probably praying to God and asking him what we're going to do while she's telling him that. He said, have the children go sit down at the tables. Perplexed, yet obediently, she did that and she had the children sit down at the tables. And he proceeded to pray something similar to this, not verbatim, not word for word, but something similar to this. Lord, we are thankful for what You are blessing us with today. And with what You have provided, we give thanks. Was there anything on the table? No. Was there anything in the cabinets? No. What about the cupboards? They were empty. But a knock came on the door. And I may get these out of order. You may know the story better than I do. Remember, I was planning on preaching this Wednesday night, okay? A knock came on the door. Lady answered the door of whom told George Mueller there's no provision for the children. A gentleman said, my milk truck broke down out front or something happened to it and I've got all this milk. It's going to go bad. I'm not going to be able to get it to the homes of which it goes to. Is there any need here? Can you folks use this? A big old smile came on her face. She said, we sure can. There was a baker that knocked on the door somewhat after that. And he said this. He said, he knocked on the door, they answered the door, and he said, "You know, I couldn't sleep at all last night." He said, I just had a restless night, and so the Lord just told me that there's somebody who needs some bread. And so I started baking bread, and I just going through town here. Could you folks use any bread?" Big old smile came on the lady's face, and she said, "We sure can." Folks, your God is not limited to what He can do. And He may not do it in your time frame, and He may not do it in my time frame. And oftentimes He doesn't. And oftentimes when we look back, we're glad that He didn't do it when we thought He should have. Because if He had done it then, boy, we'd really be in a mess now. Boy, those two knocks came on the door. Those children were cared for. You know why? Because God's good hand offered the sustenance that they needed. As we hasten through here this morning, I want to share with you as well, the good hand of God prepares us for service. Now, I like all of these points. This one I want to share with you and help, because I want you to see where that phrase happens again. In verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God." Nehemiah is now sharing this with folks of whom he is trying to gather their support, their hand of work, if you will. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." Okay, we see that phrase again. "As also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' So they strengthened their hands for this good work." I love that. I love that phrase right there. You see, God's good hand of blessing is not for us just to sit around and enjoy. Now, we do revel in it. We do testify of it. We do look back, as I shared with you in the beginning of this message, and we thank God for His good hand here and His good hand there and His provision there and His security He provided there and the sustenance He provided there. But folks, I just want to tell us this morning, He is not providing it so we can just kind of take a seat and just relax and just enjoy it till Jesus comes. If I remember the song right in our hymn book, it was called, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a relaxing time, and of course, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying there. But folks, God's left us here on earth to take what He's provided in our hands, okay? And then take that and offer a good work and meet that need of the lives of other people. Meet the needs of the lives of other people. And that's what Nehemiah had here in verse 18. He starts saying, "Hey, the good hand of my God, the king has provided these things. God is coming through." And I love what they said. "Let us rise up and build. Let's do this. Let's take our hands and do the good work. Because God's hands have blessed us in so many ways. It would be selfish of us just to contain that for ourselves. It would be selfish of us just to receive that from the Lord and not have an avenue of giving it out and serving someone else and building this wall." Do you see that the good hand of God is not meant just for our pleasure? It's with a purpose He does that, so that we can do a good work. You know, God has a good work for you to do this week. And I'm amazed at how we yield ourselves to Him. He works in mysterious ways. He puts people in your path that you will and can be a blessing to. If you'll take the good hand of God and what He's provided to you, and if you'll take that good work, and if you'll share it with somebody else. That's what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is all about being blessed of the Lord, gaining from the Lord, and then offering it to someone else. There was a, what's it called, the silent story, or I forget the title of it. If I was preaching this Wednesday night, I'd know the title of it. But it's a silent story, and it's the Christian life wrapped up in a silent story. Okay, don't fall asleep. Okay. These are professional actors. Did you see how good they did? Now, I didn't illustrate that the best as I've seen some people do it. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. Now, here's what happens. If we're not careful, now I know y'all don't do this, but some people do. We're sincere. We mean it. We need it from God. We don't have it. And we beg and we plead, and God gives it to us. And there's nothing wrong with reveling in God's goodness. There's nothing wrong in praising Him for His power. There's nothing wrong with testifying of His goodness. But you know what happens? That's where it ends. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to take that which we get from God, that He has given to us from His good hand. And you know what? We find a good work, verse 18. And we say, let us rise up and build. Let us take what God has provided and do something with it. I tell you what, you spend your life doing that, you won't grow up and be old and grumpy. You might get old. I asked one lady the other day, elderly couple in our church, I said, did you wake up grumpy? She said, what? I said, did you wake up grumpy? She said, no, I just let him sleep. He'll be fine. I just let him sleep. You won't grow up and be old and grumpy like some people are. And lastly, this morning, there's so much more I would love to say, but again, for sake of time, I want to just wrap it up here with this. The good hand of God will sustain you. The good hand of God. I want you to look at verse 20 and we're done. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. He will. You know what that's referring to? That's referring not just for today's bread, not just for today's need, not just for the sustenance that we need today. He will prosper us. You know what the good hand of God does? It sustains us. Don't be all, look, and I'm done. Don't be all wringing your hands. Oh, I just don't know how, you know, 10 years from now, I'm just not sure how it's going to make it. Well, you know, this is a good one. I just don't know. This presidential thing, I just don't know. Hey, folks, we don't vote on God. There's no debate where God's on one side. He is in control. He's going to take care of you. Quit fretting and worrying and wringing your hands. And here's what happens if we're not careful. We tell everybody else in our world, hey, God's going to take care of you. Hey, just trust Him. And then we have a little problem come in our life. We start wringing our hands. I've often said this, instead of doing this, let's just keep doing this. He will hear our prayers. He will provide. He will sustain. In the early 1900s, there was a hymn that was written. A lady named Sevilla Martin. Her and her husband were at a seminar helping a pastor do some teaching and whatnot. And her husband was about to speak. And he had to travel off to another location to speak. And she came down really sick. And he was deciding, you know, what do I do here? She's sick. I'm supposed to go over here and speak. And, of course, she was telling her husband to, you know, go do that. I'll be fine, you know. But she was under the weather, greatly under the weather. And in that decision making that he was trying to make, their young son spoke up and in so many words said, Dad, you've taught me all my life that God will take care of us. If you feel like this is what God wants you to do and Mom's for it, go do it. Do you know he went and preached that morning, went and spoke that morning? But while he was gone, listen to this. His wife lay in bed. She was not deathly ill, don't misunderstand, but she was sick. And from what those words that her son said to his parents about that, she penned the song, God will take care of you. Through every day, or all the way, God will take care of you. How many lives has that hymn touched in our time of need? Boy, we read through those words of that hymn, "Be not distressed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." Aren't you thankful for the good hand of God? Boy, Nehemiah was. But I want to remind us, it's not just for us to be receiving and receiving and receiving. Let's be thankful. Let's praise Him. Let's thank Him. Let's testify. But His good hand in our life and His blessings are meant for us to take a good work and help someone else. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I do not know why the events of this morning came as they did. But I just have to believe that maybe there's someone here this morning and you need to be, maybe you're just reminded. Security. Sustenance. Sustaining. Service. The good hand of God. It was on Nehemiah's life. And as you've trusted Christ as your Savior, it's on your life. We're taking a few moments here this morning. And we're just allowing the Lord to speak to our hearts. I'm going to have a word of prayer. We're not going to offer an invitation of which you would come forward. But we are going to have the music playing. And as the Lord speaks to your heart about whatever the need is, even now as I speak, you may be praying. But we want to give a time where we can call out to the Lord and seek His direction and thank Him for His good hand and ask Him to use our hands for the good work. It could be that you're here this morning and you do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I referred to that earlier. Or maybe there's some doubt. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to save you from an awful place called hell to a wonderful place called heaven. Simply by trusting Jesus as your Savior determines your destiny. And I trust that if you're here this morning and you do not know that for sure, that you would follow as the Word of God teaches us, today is the day of salvation. I'd love to give you an opportunity to pray and ask Jesus into your heart. Would you pray this with me? If you do not know for sure that Christ is your Savior, dear Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know because of my sin I deserve hell. But I trust in You, Jesus, and You only, to get me to heaven. Thank You, Jesus. If you prayed that in your heart, I rejoice with you. If you're watching on our website or our Facebook Live or whatnot, I rejoice with you if you prayed that prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this wonderful group of people. Thank You for their attentiveness. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word is powerful and that it can penetrate our hearts. I pray that You would bless during this invitation time. As we remain, yes, in our seats, but we are speaking to You. If there's something we need to make right with You, we're doing it. If there's something we need to thank You for, we're doing it. If there's something we need to yield to You, we're doing it. Whatever the need is this morning as the piano plays, would you make a decision for the Lord? Wherever He leads, I'll go. Lord, what is it that You want me to do? I'm thankful for Your good hand in my life. And I'm so thankful that I want to offer my hand in Your good work. Powerful passage of Scripture. What are your needs here this morning? Talk to the Lord. Well, we rejoice in the fact that we have a couple of folks who are, let's see, make sure I'm right on here. Yes, they are both coming to be baptized and join the church. And we rejoice with these folks here this morning. I'm going to give you their names. We'll call out their names again once they come for baptism and church membership. We have Deborah Reynolds. We have Alexander Cordova. And these folks are preparing now for baptism. Brother Hoxie is helping them in that endeavor. While they are preparing for baptism, we are going to watch our video announcements. And so please draw your attention to the monitors.
The church office is preparing the 2021 personal tithing envelopes for our members. Could you help us in staying up to date with your giving envelopes? If you would take a minute to stop by the welcome desk and let us know if you would like to receive a set of 2021 personal tithing envelopes, or if you have received them in the past and would like to opt out due to online giving. And if we do not get a chance to hear from you, we will mark your preference as it was last year.
Join us tonight at 5 in the parking lot for a time of COVID-friendly fun for the whole family. We are hosting a drive-through trunk or treat you can observe from the comfort and safety of your own vehicle. Each child in attendance will receive candy, and families will be able to register for a chance to win a $50 Fred Meyer's gift card. If you have signed up to have a trunk for this evening, please be in your place before 4:30 in order to get set up. If you would like to help with the purchase of candy, we are still accepting monetary donations. Simply mark your giving to include trunk or treat. Thank you again, and if you have any questions, see me after the service this morning.
Daylight savings time ends on Saturday night, October 31st. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour.
Thank you for joining us for our services today. There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, there will be a visitor reception in the foyer following the service. We will have a gift for you and an opportunity to meet with some of our staff. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5 to 6:30 for Trunk or Treat.
This is Alexander. Alexander, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Oh. And Alexander also shared that he wanted to not only get baptized, but join our church as well. And all in favor of Alexander on board as a member? Say amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We look forward to serving the Lord with you for many, many years, Alexander. God bless you. We're sure excited for you today. Let's give him a hand.
This is Deborah. Deborah, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen. As well, Deborah has chosen to not only be baptized, but join the church this morning, and we're excited and thrilled for her. All in favor of Deborah joining our membership, say amen.
Amen.
And let it be so ordered. Deborah, it's a joy to have you here this morning. So you get baptized. We look forward to serving the Lord with you for many years to come. Thank you so much. Let's give Deborah a big hand. Thank you so much for your flexibility this morning, and thank you for your attendance. We're looking forward to an activity this evening that you are either helping in or you can come and partake of and enjoy. And so please be in prayer for that. We don't do these things just for fun's sake, even though they are a lot of fun. We try to use these type of tools as well to share the gospel, invite people to church, pray with those who might have a need. So there are very many spiritual reasons why we would do such a thing as the activity tonight as well. Please be in prayer for Miss Sarah, and we'll be given an update probably through our text out as we find out her needs and her things that's going on in her world. But please be praying for Brother TJ and Miss Sarah today. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of gathering. Lord, we've come together. We've kind of pushed the pause button on our world, putting other thoughts aside so that you can speak to us. I do pray that through this time, God, that your word has been presented and made helpful to each one here. I do pray for Miss Sarah Gardner. I pray that you would please right now. I ask that whatever the need is, whatever the problem is, that you would give doctors wisdom. And Lord, we know that even you alone have the ability to heal and to help. And so we call on you for however you choose to do it. Bless Brother TJ as he cares for his dear wife. I pray that you would bless our activity this evening and help it to have some eternal benefit. For all you do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You are dismissed.